Hi, welcome to Happy Horror Time. I'm your host, Tim Murdoch. This week, there's no Matt Emmert. I know. So we really miss him here at the Happy Horror Time podcast. I've got like 50 people working under me right now. It's an office. It's hustling and bustling. Buy, buy, sell, sell. There's just a lot going on here. Mm-hmm. But we have a guest today. He's so nice. He's so determined.
Am I? I am determined.
He's very determined. He just, okay, so my podcast was just going kaput, and he really put in the time and effort to make it work. So thank you to Fernando Riviera.
Okay, no, Fernando, there's no eh.
Oh, am I pronouncing your name wrong?
No, you're not. You're fine. You're fine. Every time I hear Fernando, I'm like, no, it's Fernando.
Oh, is it Fernando?
No, but you're great.
Wait, but say it properly so I know.
Okay, if I'm in South Texas, and where I'm from, and I introduce myself, I say Fernando.
Fernando.
Yes, but if I do it over the phone here or anywhere else, like to a telemarketer, I always have to repeat myself. So when I'm over an audio device like you are, I always say Fernando.
But my question to you is, do they ever say, is Mrs. Murdoch? They're like, hi, Mrs. Murdoch.
That's what they call you.
That's what they sometimes
say.
Hi,
Mrs. Murdoch at the Ralphs.
I'm like, and then I hang up because I'm so insulted because that reminds me of when I was in seventh grade. But this podcast is not about my seventh grade troubles.
Isn't it, though? Well, isn't
you know,
it a horror? That's,
it is. It is a horror.
Okay.
Okay, so welcome to Happy Horror Time. We're gonna
thank
be
you.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh,
for receiving me into your whole home. Into your whole home. I appreciate it, Tim.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so little background on Fernando. What does he not do?
Knee slapper.
Fernando is an author, an actor, activist. Can I say that?
I
don't know.
I work out. So
he works out.
That's like, I'm an active person.
He's an active person.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. And you have a line of t-shirts?
It's a clothing line, but we do sell mainly t-shirts.
Okay, because thank you for giving me mine. I'm wearing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
I look so good in it.
It looks so good on you. Yes.
Thanks. My muscles are busting out.
Yeah, you're so fit.
Thank you. I work out like... Well, I've been to 250 base camp classes, but I can honestly say I've never built up a sweat.
Like you've participated or like you've watched?
Keyword participated, but doesn't mean I push myself.
Okay.
Yeah. Story for another time.
Yeah.
Okay. So in addition to doing all these things, you are also a horror fan.
I am a huge horror fan.
Okay. So let's go back in time. What triggered your love for horror?
Halloween 1. Actually, it was my mom and then Halloween 1.
Okay, so your mom introduced you to it, or how did she...
Yeah, so my mom, she was an English teacher back in the day.
So
and...
is mine. Go on.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So
retired, but go on.
You were constantly corrected when you spoke improper English.
No.
And...
No. I mean, no.
Okay.
I wasn't.
Well, I was. So hence my affinity for proper grammar. But so my mother, she taught English in middle school, and... Around Halloween time, you know how when it's kind of close to a holiday, you show a movie to get the kids like kind of off your back. So she would show them like Halloween 1 and Halloween 2.
The original Halloween to
kids? Yes, exactly. Like to 7th and 8th graders. But back in the day, you know, it's like they didn't really have any rules about that kind of stuff.
Your mom showed Halloween, the original, and Halloween 2, these rated R films in school?
Yes, yes.
Wow, I wish I was in your mom's class.
I know, me too. So she got me completely, you know, so we watched them, so we got hooked on them. But also, like, back in the day when my mom and her brothers and sisters were kids, I mean, my mom had 13 brothers and sisters, you know, typical Mexican Catholic to the max.
I cannot relate at all. Go on.
Well, you know, I'm your Irish Catholic, right?
Oh, yeah, but I just had two older brothers. How many siblings?
I only have one brother.
Oh, okay.
One brother, yes. So, yeah, the buck kind of stopped after that generation. But so for the grown-ups to kind of, like, relax, they would have to show the kids something that would keep their minds occupied, so they showed them horror. So my mother's brothers and sisters, they grew up watching horror films. That was kind of like a family bonding time, and so she passed it on to us. So my brother and I do that. My father's not into horror, but...
My dad isn't really. I mean, he'll glance at it and be like, huh, that's amusing.
Yeah.
Like I remember my dad watching Child's Play and be like, talking doll.
Yeah. There it is.
Ah, kills people. Okay, so you watch Halloween, and then you watch... 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Not 3. I've not seen 3.
What?
I have not. I can't bring myself
Season
to do it.
Season of the Witch?
I can't bring myself to do it.
I think you should see it.
I mean, is it that important?
I was just
There's like a
theme.
Toy thing, right? It's like about toys.
I mean, the first time I saw it, I'm not going to lie, I thought it was garbage. But then as I grew older, I thought it was great. because it's just so bonkers. It's bonkers. Okay. And the guy, he's a, I think he's a doctor. I have seen it.
It's like watching Halloween 6. It's just like bonkers.
Oh, shit. Do you not like it?
I mean, I saw the director's cut and I was like, what the fuck?
Wait, do you like Paul Rudd, though?
I love Paul Rudd. He's great. Are you kidding me? He can do no wrong.
Well, then you have to love the film.
Well, he's, I mean, but Paul Rudd was not the entire film. Little Bobby Doyle was not the entire
that's
film.
That's true. That's true. I thought it had moments.
Doyle. Tommy Doyle?
You know, I would do Doyle. Some research, but I'm far too lazy and comfortable sitting in this new chair.
Oh, I know.
You're
running the living room set.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we're at my house right now.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And Fernando's eating popcorn, and I'm
I am, if I'm crunching in the microphone. I'm
it's okay. Sorry. It's Bethany Frankel's popcorn line.
Shut up.
It is.
I can't, like, it's popcorn with Bethany Frankel's name on it.
Do you taste a lemon?
There's a hint of lemon. Okay. I will say it's almost like eating the lime Tostitos, but
in
a popcorn form.
Right, and it's good for you. Really? I'm just kidding. I doubt it's good
for
you. Okay, yeah. What was I saying?
I don't know, Tim.
Who cares? Okay,
Paul Rudd can do no
wrong. Oh, yeah, Paul Rudd's good looking. And I think he looks better with age. He's like a fine one.
He does. He does. We'll not talk about Ant-Man, but he does.
Oh, I fell asleep during that. I know. I was like...
Halloween 3.
Oh, yeah. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. I think you should really see it.
Okay.
I mean, I'll watch it with you. Sure. I have no standards.
Clearly.
So we are going to discuss three films.
Yes.
But first, before we do that, you wrote a book, and I purchased it. It's next to my bed. It's a big book, and I just want you to know I have a little mind. So I do I do have plans to read it.
I'm making all these faces at Tim right now that no one can see, sadly. I'm like... How long ago did you buy that book, Tim?
It was a good couple of weeks ago. Maybe a month.
It was a good, hot minute. But it's okay. You are very busy yourself.
So
I do know you
busy.
Are. You know, I keep up with your Instagram. So, you were saying?
Yeah. Oh, so just tell us a little about your book.
Yes. So the book is called The Afterliving, and it is vampire fiction. And it is based on the idea that Jesus Christ was the first vampire.
My mind is blown because I know nothing even about that.
Christian mind blown. So I love vampire fiction. I read all the Twilight books. I loved them. I've seen the original Nosferatu, which was
Saw that.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Interview with a Vampire, all that stuff. I did not watch True Blood.
Oh, I didn't
will
either.
Say.
I think it's fine.
It made me feel dirty. I saw one episode. It just made me feel like Nip Tuck. It just made me feel like I have to go take a shower and then go to church.
I do enjoy Nip Tuck, but I think that show, what's that phrasing? What's that phrase? Flew off the shark. Jumped the shark.
Jump
the shark.
Jump ship?
Yeah. No, you know the phrase when a series
I know what you're trying
on.
To say, and Thank I appreciate
you.
Your effort.
It's what it is remember when Fonzie on Happy Days was water skiing?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, this is shit. So that's when they say it jumped the shark.
Got it. Okay.
Fun fact.
Yes. So, but in my head, you know, I was always, if I thought like, oh, if I'm in that position, like, what would I do? And I would see in all these movies or TV shows, they're always like, the center of it is, oh, like, what will my boyfriend think if I do this? Or it's all like centered around a love. Which, of course, there's a love story in the book, but it's all centered around, like, what would my loved one or what would X, Y, and Z do or think of me if I did this? And in my head, you know, being raised Catholic, I immediately would think, like, oh, shit, would I go to hell if I became a vampire? And that was always, like, my main concern. It wasn't what anybody else thought or leaving anybody else behind. It's like, what would happen to me? And so I thought, well, why does it have to be separate? Like, why does becoming a vampire mean you're damned to hell? What if it was actually... a good thing. And so that's kind of where the idea of, oh, what if like Jesus said it was okay? What if he was a vampire? And that's kind of where it came from. And also if you read the Bible, I mean, it says, you know, drink my blood and eat my flesh and you will have eternal life. Like legit, it's in the Bible that Jesus was a vampire.
That's fake news. Go on.
That's true. It is fake news that is completely true to fake people. But I will say it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So I just pretty much took that idea and ran with it.
Oh, so, okay, so you were raised?
Catholic.
Catholic. Yes. Okay, and so. Oh,
Mexican Catholic.
Mexican Catholic.
Yes.
Not either one of those.
It's okay.
Thank you.
We'll still take you.
Oh, phew.
Yeah.
Now, my next question is,
uh-huh.
You said you grew up with Twilight. Do you love Kristen Stewart's style of acting?
Why you gotta paint me in a corner like that, Tim?
It's not. I'm just putting you in a corner.
I would say that her style is her style.
Subtle.
And she does it really well.
She does.
And I have no qualms with someone being herself.
Do you remember when she, there was that scandal with her hooking up with that director?
No, I don't pay attention to drama.
Oh, me neither.
I'm completely drama-free.
Me neither. Never mind.
So, yeah. But I will tell you about Taylor Lautner. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. Is that who you prefer you over the other one?
Acting styles? Yes, of course.
Oh, no. Okay, now just look-wise.
You mean like Bella, like Edward and
yeah,
and
there's
Jacob?
One's a vampire, one's a werewolf.
Oh, that's kind of hard.
Is it? Even today?
I mean... Because I'm looking at just the looks or like the powers?
Okay, both.
Because like... If Jacob was the vampire, I would be Team Jacob all the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of am Team Jacob.
He's the werewolf.
He's the werewolf. Oh, my God, Tim, do you really have to ask that?
Listen,
you just lost like a whole market.
I know.
Of,
here's the
like,
problem. I saw them
tweens.
All. I saw all the Twilights.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't tell you which one was which. And I know I'm horrible.
I will tell you, book/movie 2 did not have to happen.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
But I love the first one. Mm-hmm. And I will say the acting styles are very unique in that series, but it was still made for a really fun
film, cinema experience.
Yes.
This is my, I love Kristen Stewart's style of acting. It's like just sleepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Anyway.
It kind of just makes you want to
take a nap.
Yeah. Or
she's like living.
Like you legit feel stoned.
Right. Yeah.
When you watch it.
Which I've never been. Have you ever been stoned?
I have.
Did I put you on the spot?
Dude, my mother is listening.
She loves Happy Horror Time. She's like, oh, okay, Fernando, when are you going to be on Happy Horror Time?
Legally got stoned.
Illegally?
Legally got stoned.
Oh, because it's legal now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have. And I will say, I can't smoke. Smoking hurts my throat.
Right. Because you're a singer/dancer/model.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I've tried the edibles.
Oh.
It just makes me feel really groggy. Like my head is really heavy. And it's just like, oh, I'm not really feeling this.
I mean, one day I'll take a deep dive.
I'll slip something in your
popcorn.
I'm gonna give you a weed enema.
Thank you.
And you're gonna love
it. Oh my god.
I
feel
hit
funny
you so fast. Okay, so Halloween.
We're gonna start our after living. Yes, go on.
Yes. So the story is, you know, I mean, it takes place in Brighton, which is south of London. And I really love the London culture. I love the London vampire culture, but I didn't want it to be in London because I just felt really cliche. But, you know, I want the accents. I want the atmosphere. So the main character is he was born.
Fernando.
Yes, it is.
Is it you?
No, his name is
loosely based.
His name's Emmanuel Manny.
Okay. Oh, I like that name.
Yes. So it means
sexy diva.
I wish it did. Oh my God, I had to research it and now I just totally forgot. It means like God with us.
Oh, wow.
Yes, God with us means Emmanuel. So his name is Manny. And so he was, his mother's from the States. His dad is from, you know, the
Texas.
Brighton area. Uh-huh. And so he's a, he's born in Brighton. And when he's 6 years old, his parents separate. He goes with his mom back to San Diego. And he spends 20 years growing up in San Diego, never having seen or heard from his father ever since. So his father passes away. So Manny, 26, is forced to go back to Brighton to his father's funeral. And when he goes back, it's reintroduced to members of his family. And he also is reintroduced to his childhood sweetheart, who is...
Kristen Stewart.
So close. No. Lucy Weston.
Oh, pretty name.
Yes. And so he and Lucy kind of have this sexual tension thing going on. And then he... I know. I'm so sorry. I wrote a straight love story.
It's
I'm
fine.
So sorry. I didn't
it's
mean
fine.
To offend you.
Love is love.
Love is love. You know what? The
straight
straights can have it
people.
Too.
Right. They can at least have that.
Yes. They
we
can have
everything.
Love wins hashtag mm-hmm. as well. And so, you know, so then he is going to come back. And then when he's coming back, he starts to get these dreams and premonitions and things that he's hearing around about his father that indicate his father didn't die of natural causes, but in fact was murdered.
Oh, wow.
And so he stays back to investigate the murder. And that's when the whole story unfolds about what his family was really into and where they come from. And
colorful characters.
Very colorful characters. Middle Eastern characters, Asian characters. Manny himself is half Latino, half Italian.
Now,
so there's,
is there any pale, skinny, four-year-olds?
Four-year-old?
Listen, I just went into a new age bracket. So.
There are, yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes.
So if the movie's made, I can at least audition.
You can audition.
Christ.
You can. And there are vampires.
Oh.
But there are also werewolves. there are witches, but they all are called very different things, and they all represent a different group that was coming into power around the time of Christ. Okay. And that all kind of unfolds in the story. So there's a lot of, I'm a huge fan of Dan Brown, and I love his, how he has a lot of fact mixed in with his fiction that make it sound so believable. So I try to do that myself in terms of like researching and having a lot of religious history to back up the conspiracy that I'm kind of spinning.
Oh, wow. So you did, you put a lot of research into it, and it's like, so it's, I see what you're saying. I see.
Yes.
Like it's,
I want to be Dan Brown so badly. I'm not, but it would be so awesome to someday be like, Dan Brown, I want to be you. Nice to meet you. And then like walk away.
Right, right, right.
Because that's what I would do.
Like the way I think about meeting Tara Reid.
Yes.
I got it.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I mean, maybe at one time, but not. Well, actually, it should be more interesting now, right? Because she's been through it.
She has some wisdom to impart.
Right, right. On like, you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would want to talk to her about her Lifetime Christmas movies.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't watch those.
Oh, I didn't either.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you ready to...
Oh, yeah. And The After Living is on Amazon.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
Just so you know.
Everyone purchase Fernando's
yes,
book.
Yes, it's a fun... It's a series. I'm working on number 2. I'm already a fourth of the way through number 2.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you.
So great. I admire anyone that can like write a book, put a pen to paper. But I'm sure you don't do pen to paper. You just do keys to keyboard.
I do. I put fingers, digits to keyboard.
Well, you know, I'm aging myself by saying that.
Mm-hmm.
As I write my jokes on a napkin before I go on stage.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, so... this is a nostalgia episode. We did not watch anything new.
No.
But
it was new to me.
Oh, these three films were new to Fernando, but not
to
me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, not actually, not one of them.
No, yeah, not one of them.
But I'm sorry, did you want to say one last thing about your book before we get started?
I mean, there is... there are a lot of secrets. There are a lot of like fun surprises, and I've been told that one of the most... one of the best compliments I've been given about the book is that when they reach the end of the book, they have no idea what decision the character should make. Mm. Which is good, because I tried to paint every character or every group to have a very convincing argument as to why they believe they are, you know, correct in what they believe about the higher power, so to speak, involved. And so I was very happy to show that, like, oh, okay, like, there's an unbiased way, you know, to communicate this story, and just have people be like, oh shit, like, I never thought that could happen. Like, I am open to something different than what I've always believed. So mm-hmm. that was a big pat on the back for me when I've heard. So if you're open to having, even if you have a strong religious background and you don't follow it and you completely reject it, then you'll love this book, because there's a lot of hypocrisy pointed out and a lot of fun jabs at religion.
I thought you were going to say hip hop. Go on.
No. But Manny probably can dance hip hop. Or vice versa. If you're a very religious person, and you think this is such a ridiculous idea and there's no way it could be good, then you should read it, because it's a very convincing argument to show that, you know, it, there's a lot of fun for everyone to have in the story.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're
I feel
welcome.
Like, I mean, now that I own the book and you just gave me that, I'm
going to
read it.
Oh, God, Tim. Slay me. Slay me.
Oh, dear. Okay, so the first film we're going to start off with is Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. It's the 30th anniversary. Fernando and I saw it at a 30th anniversary screening.
At the Grauman's Chinese Theater, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was
beautiful
fun.
Place.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was sold out.
Yeah.
Sold
out. Lines around the whole lobby.
30-year-old movie.
Yeah.
Oh, did you get to see all of Daniel? Oh, for, Daniel Harris, who's the star? Oh, by the way, we're just going to spoil everything, so who cares?
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie by now.
Get it together. Why are you even listening to this podcast? Oh. So Daniel Harris was there.
Sponsored by Bethany Frankel's Popcorn.
Oh, yes. What's that? Skinny Girl. Yeah, Skinny Girl Lime or something.
Yeah.
Are you getting are you grossed out by it?
No, I'm still eating it.
I know.
I'm trying to eating it softly so I don't
it's okay.
Crunch against the microphone.
The three listeners, they don't mind.
Hi, Mom. Oh, it's my brother's birthday today.
Oh,
by the way.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Roy. I hope you listen to this at some point.
Is he a homosexual?
That's
none
maybe.
Of my business.
No, he is. Yeah, he
that's
is.
None of my business.
Yeah, my brother's.
Oh,
yeah.
So mine is too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I just added our brothers.
Just, oh, my God. Okay.
Well, my brother's, your brother's single?
No, he's taken.
Mine is too.
Oh,
it's okay.
That's okay.
It's all right.
We'll be single together, Tim.
Oh, phew. So Daniel Harris was there. And she, I feel like she's been asked these questions for 30 years.
Yeah.
And she was like, I mean, but she's got to have some kind of enthusiasm. I mean, she's in front of a sold out crowd loving her movie. But granted, I know it was her 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be tough.
But I mean, in her defense, she is the same height.
I don't know who you're defending. No, I think she was. Well, first off, I love what she was wearing. She was wearing boots and a wrap. And nothing else.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. No, anyway, so that was my takeaway. But the movie's still great. I loved it. I mean,
okay, I did love it. But I will say I loved it even more in that I was able to point out the most ridiculous things about the movie on the big screen.
What were they? Please.
Well, I mean, just like, because you grow up watching this movie. I mean, I grew up watching this movie always on like my home television. You know, right. I never saw it huge. I never had the surround sound, whatever. So actually watching the movie in a theater was crazy because you can kind of see all the flaws in the story because mm-hmm. I honestly saw it as a brand new movie. And that was one thing that was really unique.
Looked great.
It looked amazing. I saw it and I thought like, oh my God, I'm watching this movie for the first time. I even had a few jumps, like genuine jumps where I was scared.
I know.
And I've seen this movie for like so many times.
By the way, Fernando likes to clap and cheer and yell, which is new to me because I like to sit there like I'm practically dead.
I feel personally attacked by your comment.
No. It's a good thing. I loved your enthusiasm. I'm so scared to bring any kind of attention towards me. Except when I do stand up in my podcast.
Yeah. Exactly.
No. Okay. So the movie starts out, Michael Myers. Well, that's a big loophole right there. Like he's burned and like he's, you know.
Yeah. He shouldn't be able to get up, but it's fine.
That's true. Yeah. And then like we're supposed to believe that Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter is Danielle Harris, mm-hmm. which the new Halloween doesn't even acknowledge Jamie.
H2O, you mean?
No, H40O.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The new one coming out, Blumhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's
called Blumhouse.
But my favorite storyline was the soap opera triangle between Ellie Cornell, the girl with the big boobs, the cop's daughter, mm-hmm. and then the hot guy. Was he hot? I don't know.
He looked like he would turn into a supernatural creature at some point. Like a very sexy supernatural creature.
Right.
Like a Lost Boys vampire type.
Yes.
You know?
And then
minus the forehead.
Oh gosh.
I know.
Like him fighting Michael Myers was tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he should just run away.
I would have.
Me too.
Yeah.
But I guess there'd be no movie. My favorite scene there would be.
I would have thrown myself out the fucking window.
My favorite scene was on the rooftop. What was your favorite scene?
Oh shoot, you put me on the spot now.
Sorry.
No, it's always the beginning scene.
Oh.
That's always the freakiest part for me is when the lightning strikes and
the ambulance drivers?
Yes. Not thunder. Thunder is sound.
Oh,
and
yes.
Lightning. Yes, when the lightning strikes.
Visuals.
Yes, and you just see the room illuminate and you see him like in the reflection of the mirror. That's always my favorite, most terrifying part.
Oh, okay, so you're talking about her dream sequence.
Yes. Okay, which we will talk about in terms of having like a little bit of
a
loophole. It's a dream sequence. There's no way he can be on two sides of the door.
But how would she know what he looks like?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. How did she know about the whole mask and the whole everything
the
in her dream?
And, well, there was also...
Don't do that. Don't talk about that and then look behind me, Tim. God.
Well, just to set the scene, Fernando and I are in a very well-lit living room, but the other side of my house is kind of dark.
Yeah, we're essentially in like a box of light, and then like you extend an arm beyond, and it's like complete mm-hmm. darkness. And the fact that you're like... we're talking about this movie that takes place...
Are you scared?
Old artists. Yes, I get... freaked out.
Oh God,
Tim.
I'm so desensitized.
I'm actually just gonna sit with my back
buttocks
to the wall and not
this is, well, who
to
am
the,
I supposed to look at?
I don't know, Tim. You can look down at me. I'm not gonna sit with my back to the. That's how crazy white people die in movies.
Well, I'm not
they
white.
Their back to like the darkness.
I'm sugar and bronzed.
Oh, that's true. After your body scrub today, you're sugar and bronzed.
Oh no, I'm not.
Okay. We were just so you were.
Halloween
the,
4.
Yes.
Your favorite scene was... Oh,
the beginning.
Beginning.
Yeah, okay. When she's praying. Like, every time I pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord, I literally see Michael Myers in my head, and I'm like, this was a bad idea.
And the mirrors, you like the whole mirrors and all that?
Yeah, it was great.
It's very good.
Because he's like, his white face literally blends into the background of like the white wallpaper or the salmon wallpaper.
Yeah.
It's just... And then you just see the eyes. It's like, ugh.
You saw his eyes?
Well, I mean, the blackness of the
eyes.
Oh,
okay, the blackness. The devil's
eyes.
Okay, because I was looking for like actual...
No.
Like,
yeah, they wouldn't let that
eye
happen.
Sockets. Okay, so yeah, I give thumbs up to Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, 1988 30th anniversary screening.
I mean,
but I was also intoxicated during it.
You were, yeah. Were you? You were lightweight.
Yes. I had like a drink and a half. And
yeah,
I was
so
like,
we had Dallas serving us at the California
Pizza
Kitchen.
Hopefully Dallas is looking. Listening.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to be looking at me.
I mean, he was quite the catch.
Was he?
He was cute.
He was nice.
He
and he gave me a
slender,
drink.
But he was cute.
Right. And you want people with meat on their bones.
Meat, yes. Are we getting into this right now?
You know, it might take a hard left.
I will say he did make our drinks.
He did.
And he made them pretty heavy.
He did.
So that
But
was,
you seemed fine. Were you okay?
I was great.
Oh, okay.
It's totally fine. It's totally faking it. Yeah, I will give it a thumb and three quarters.
Wow.
Because now that like I've seen it on a big screen, I'm like, okay, guys, there were some things that like
some
even
flaws.
The novice, you know, filmmaker.
I was
like,
just swimming in nostalgia.
It's true. Yeah, I did like that. Although, did you notice that when they found the paramedics van in like
upside
abandoned,
down.
Yeah, upside down. Did you notice all the blood that was across, like it was just on the outside of the paramedics van?
Well, did they try to escape and he like ate them? Yeah, there was a lot of unnecessary blood.
But like the cops were like, yep, it was an accident. It happens all the time. And I'm like, really? People like bleed and rub their bodies on the outside of a paramedics van as they're dying?
Okay.
Like that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, that was nasty.
Like, you know. Dr. Loomis was like, he was on to them.
Oh, by the way, Dr. Loomis's makeup would sometimes be really, really thick and other times not so thick.
There was like, he had like this little like protruding like birthmarky type scar and then it would disappear.
Right. Like, the continuity on the makeup, not the best.
Not the best. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Okay. So we talked that movie to death. No pun intended.
Did we?
I mean, we could probably talk about it like 3 more hours.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next movie we're moving on to is Psycho 2. And you can't see.
Because I'm not here.
Fernando, he has never seen it, which is crazy because you worked at Universal. And that,
well, yeah, I saw Psycho 1. And I know Alfred Hitchcock never won an Oscar, but he was nominated.
That's a fun fact. Did you have to tell that like a million times on the tour?
Yes, he was. I think he was nominated like 13 times and he never won.
13 times?
Yeah, crazy.
So, you worked at Universal.
I did.
And when you went past the Psycho...
Bates Motel,
mm-hmm. and the house. Mm-hmm. What were your fun facts?
It was mainly about the Alfred Hitchcock, how he had been nominated so many times. He never won.
Did it talk about how he Me Too'd Janet Leigh?
No.
Did you see the movie Hitchcock?
Yes.
Well, I mean, kind of, right? He was kind of like a little pervy.
Really? I just remember him being in a bathtub.
Oh, I don't.
Was that
was the scene.
Was that the right movie?
Hitchcock, the movie?
Yeah.
And like basically he was obsessed with his leading ladies, right? Isn't that the takeaway from that movie?
I saw it. I honestly just saw it because I knew I had to be an adult and watch a nominated movie.
Right.
But I really I zone out when movies are serious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I only like dramatic
television. Well, then how did you watch Psycho 2? Because it was serious.
It was seriously off the chain. Are you kidding me?
Well, what did you think of it?
I thought it was freaking unique. Oh, I say freaking like I'm like a child.
It was
fucking unique. It was so like, I mean... Because back then, you have to...
In 1983.
You know,
were you
it's
born
like,
yet?
No.
85. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
Like, I feel like the well was not dry in terms of like fun and new ideas at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So if that twist were to exist in a movie today, I'd be like, whatever. But the fact that the twist in that movie was in 1983, it just completely blew my mind because I just was completely like, I didn't expect that to be that clever.
What did you think of Anthony Perkins' performance? Because knowing that we know that he's a homosexual, does it change his, like, were you looking for anything? I don't know. Does it change things?
Like if he was trying to send me signals that he'd want to go out with me?
Right. Like while watching the film. Did you see him wink at you through the screen?
I mean, I saw...
Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I know that, like, because the big question in that movie is why was, is it Meg Tilly or Jennifer Tilly?
Jennifer Tilly is the Chucky actress, or Chucky, whatever.
I think you said Chunky.
No, she's not. She's the raspy voice,
okay,
liar.
Jennifer Tilly is from Chucky.
Yes.
Okay, so Meg Tilly. Why would, I know that she was set up to frame Norman, but why was she so nice to him? Was she falling in love with him? That's what I guess my question is like, was there supposed to be a love story?
He showed her
there?
So much kindness that she was like, oh, this guy is not a bad guy. He really is reformed.
Okay.
I think that that's what happened.
Because I was like, what are we, as the audience, are we supposed to take that they're a like she likes him. But I think she just felt sorry for him.
Yes, she just felt sorry for him. Okay. I believe so. Okay. Yeah, I feel like his, like, I'll say, like, the acting was a little surprising.
Questionable.
It was questionable, along with Norman Bates. It was questionable. But I will say, that, like, what I told you when I was watching the movie is that as questionable as the acting is, I never doubted that Norman wanted to be a good person.
Right.
Like, whatever he was doing, I still saw, like, oh, like, he really does want to be a good person. He just can't help it.
Right. What did you think of when it's, well, we're spoiling it. What did you think of the big reveal when the mother, Vera Miles, was Meg Tilly's mother? And they were both in cahoots to frame Norman.
I hated her so much.
Oh, really? I thought she was the strongest actor, the old lady.
I was so mad at her. Oh, I mean, I was supposed to be mad at her.
Right.
You know, she's being such a C-U-N-T. But
see you next Tuesday, everyone.
I didn't say
this is a kid show.
I thought that she was. I mean, she's just so hard.
She wanted to bust Norman,
and she was a sister of.
Janet Leigh.
Janet Leigh, yeah.
What was her? Marion Crane.
Marion Crane.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't even know where that came from.
Yeah.
Pull that out of my butt.
Yeah. Along with your dignity. What did you think about her?
I thought Vera Miles was my favorite because I thought she was strong in the original and I thought she was really, really good in Psycho 2. I almost wish she had a bigger part. And I think we talked about the guy from the original, the hot one. We wanted him to be in the sequel.
Wait, what?
Oh, remember the guy that she was having an affair with? Was she having an affair?
Who?
Janet Leigh's character.
Oh,
Marion
God.
Marion Crane.
Yeah.
So, like, the...
Well, she stole money. That's why she was running away.
Sam Loomis. Wasn't his name?
That was the name of the prosecutor, wasn't it?
I don't know. Okay, but you know the guy that Janet Leigh was having an affair with in the original...
No, I don't.
Okay, remember, like, the guy that she was hooking up with and her sister... And that guy and the sister. Oh my God, I'm like rambling.
I just remember she stole money and she was running away, and that's the part that's
remember
stuck with
the
me.
First 10 minutes of the original Psycho when the hot guy and her were like laying in bed and it was kind of scandalous because she's wearing a bra.
Oh,
so Vera Miles married her sister's husband or the guy she was having an affair with? Is that what we're supposed to believe?
No.
No. Okay.
No, they were just. Mary, the Crane and Vera, whatever, were sisters.
Sisters, right. Yeah.
And she was, and the other girl, Meg Tilly, was a daughter.
Right. Yeah, okay.
That was it.
But she did mention, she goes, and Sam Loomis? Like, so, I don't know what we were supposed to grab.
Well, because that was the nod in Halloween. Dr. Loomis, that was the one of the like connections to Hitch, to Psycho. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Loomis name.
Oh, here's a fun fact. You've seen Carrie, right?
Yes.
Did you know that was Bates High School, named after Norman Bates?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Do you love Carrie?
I'm going to laugh at you. I mean, I do love sound bites.
Did you see the remake of Carrie?
I like the remake of Carrie.
I do, too. I think I may be the only person.
Wait, you mean like the recent remake
of
Carrie?
Yeah.
Or
with
like the
Chloe...
one that was like...
Which one are you talking about?
The one from the 90s, I think.
Like, oh, Carrie 2, the sequel?
I guess.
With one of the London brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sequel. It's good. It's such a movie 20 years old now. It was made in 1998.
Oh, my God.
I know. Fun fact.
The Rage, Carrie 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I digress. Yeah, so Psycho 2.
The ending got me. Because it completely shattered my whole view because I had only seen Psycho 1. So in my head, it was always... You know, Norman Bates' mom that was pulling the strings, you know, from, I guess, inside his head. But then when they introduced, you know, the real mother, I was just like, oh, my God, she's not really his mom? Like, that just...
Well, in Psycho 3, it wasn't his mom, right? I'm jumping to Psycho 3, our third movie.
What do you mean? Psycho 2? I'm talking about Psycho 2.
I know,
I just
jumped, but it wasn't really his mother, was it? In Psycho 3, it was revealed that wasn't his mom. She stole him?
Oh, that's right. She stole him.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So we just went straight into our Psycho 3, our third movie.
No, his mom stole him from the
his
birth mother
mom.
That he killed in the end, too.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, I thought you meant like then then the next mother wasn't Israel Malbec. No, they can't have three mothers. Like, that's
the ideal. I have three mothers.
Oh,
I've been meaning to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Psycho 2.
Yes. The ending completely flipped my mind.
You loved it.
I loved it. And how do they do that effect where they hit her in the back of the head? Spoiler, they hit her in the back of the head with a shovel. That looked so real.
You think so?
Yes.
Actually, I do agree. And the sound and everything. It must be like heavy, heavy edited. But what did you think of that scene prior when Norman put his hands on the knife and she pulled the knife out of his hands? That was gross.
That, I can't. I'll tell you, when that happens in movies, I just like, I get so squeamish. Like when you just like the blade, grabbing a blade and then just slicing it away.
Right.
Like in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. I don't watch that.
Never mind.
Do you watch it?
Yeah, I do.
Are you a faithful viewer?
I mean, I binged like the first five seasons and then got on board with like the other seasons and watching them in real time. But I mean, it's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, that just like, it turns my stomach and I have to look away.
Wow. Trust me, I love the movie. It's a slow burn, though. I mean, like, nothing really happens to like the last 15 minutes. Did you notice that? Like,
I mean, but haven't we gotten used to that with scary movies?
Yeah.
Isn't that like the crappy part? Is that it's.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love story and I love the buildup and I love the characterization.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it was just the action part. The acting part was a little. Well, you know what? I mean, I appreciate the acting,
mm-hmm.
but it's subtle.
It's subtle. Like Kristen Stewart.
Meg Tilly took a page out of Kristen Stewart's book,
yeah.
Which is weird because she's actually older.
A little bit, just by a smidge. What was your favorite part of that movie?
My favorite part was when she actually puts on the wig and the dress, and she goes, "Norman."
Oh, she's trying to like
completely
imitate.
Yeah. And like, but then the is he the parole officer or is he a psychologist? Who is he?
No, he was the He was the psychologist who was also like a lawyer,
friend?
Like a legal psychologist or something, who was looking after
right.
Norman to make
so
sure.
So he was like lurking around the house and like she.
He was like his sponsor,
yeah.
so to speak.
And when
yeah.
she like turns around and she accidentally stabs him, I thought that scene was pretty effective. And then like he falls and like on the banister and the knife goes in further.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was all very. I liked all that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this movie's getting up to gear.
Yeah.
So I loved it.
What I want to know is. Like, because you know how in Scream, how you don't quite know which one of the two, like, killed
Sydney.
Yeah, like, just did the killings.
Yeah.
I always want to know which one of the two was dressed up in the
ghost
wig
face.
And, like, was ghost facing everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's always on my mind when there's, like, a dual killer.
Or in Scream 2 when it was Aunt Jackie.
Yeah, and Jackie. That's how she'll always be.
From Roseanne.
Yeah.
No, I don't know which one was which. I mean, I guess we just guess.
I mean, it's fine.
The big reveal.
You know, it's not going to make or break the movie.
It is. It's broken.
Okay. I do like how in Psycho 2, how they kind of catch you up by showing the ending of Psycho 1. And then how Psycho 3, they catch you up by showing the ending in Psycho 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it's like last time on, you know.
Right. It's
last
it
time
it
on Bates
it
Motel.
It almost feels like a CSI... It almost it's filmed like a Criminal Minds,
mm-hmm.
but on a much slower, relaxed level. Like it's not as flashy and edited heavy.
Yeah,
and there's no commercials.
And now, did you watch? Did we talk about this? Have you seen Bates Motel, the TV series?
I watched the first season, then I just gave up.
Why?
I don't know.
It's good.
Housewives, Bold and the Beautiful got in the way.
Are you kidding me right now?
No. I'm telling you the truth.
Okay, well, Vera Farmiga. Well, how do you say her name?
Farmiga.
Yeah,
the one that was in that big movie with
Vera.
George Clooney.
Yes,
where she played a flight attendant and she cheated on George. Or was that what? No.
I was like,
she had an affair with George Clooney, and then it was revealed that she had a husband and kid. Right,
mm-hmm.
George.
I mean,
I'm giving away that movie too.
I don't know about you, but I saw her in The Commuter. That was the last thing I saw with her and what's his face.
I saw that.
The guy whose son is his
yes,
daughter
Liam
is always. Yeah, Liam Neeson.
She was hardly in it.
Yeah, but she was the best part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have her be in it more, but that movie, I was like.
Anyways, Vera is the most amazing Norma Bates that mm-hmm. you will ever like see on screen.
Did you watch all the seasons?
I did. And the most amazing part of it is that they took these tiny little aspects or these character flaws or tics from Psycho and from Norman himself. And they created huge like storylines about it.
Oh, that's cool.
Like there was a huge like for the reason why he's into taxidermy. You know, it's like his
Let's go into Psycho 3, by the way.
Oh, yeah, let's go into Psycho 3. Sorry.
Okay, we'll wrap it up. We'll do Psycho 3. But you were going on taxidermy.
Oh, I was saying, like, you know, the whole, like, taxidermy thing comes from, you know, it was like the father of, again, the Bates Motel takes place when Norman is a child. So you see, like, why he turned into Norman Bates. And it's like a hobby that one of his, you know, school friends' fathers did. And he was around her so much, and he was like kind of like a semi-father figure to him, that that's where he learned it from. So it's like, oh, that's kind of unique how they took this like little fact that he's into taxidermy and completely turned it into a storyline and involved extra characters. And so they did stuff like that that I really
And it's a hot
great.
Cast from what I remember, right?
Yeah. I mean
not Norman, but...
I mean Freddie Highmore. No, delivers, though. He is like the shit when it comes to acting.
Acting,
he's
sure.
amazing.
Sure.
Yeah. But he's also British, so it's blah blah blah. We get it.
Anything they say is like sounds sophisticated and awesome.
Yeah, and then he speaks in an American accent and you're just like, "Oh great, now you can do us better than we can do us."
Right. Yeah. And now he's like a doctor. He's like a Doogie Howser on TV now.
Is that pretty much what it is?
I'm not watching it.
I'm not either. I'm against it.
It's not daytime. It's not The Bold and Beautiful.
True. Speaking of Bold and Beautiful, what Bold and Beautiful movie Psycho 3 was?
Oh, yeah. Let's move on to that.
Segue right there.
So we watched it. Was it a week later?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday.
And I love Psycho 3, but it's so sleazy. Anthony Perkins directed it, and it goes off the rails. Every death is totally disgusting.
It almost seemed like in the same world as like the Nightmare on Elm Street. Or like the
Texas Chainsaw.
I was gonna say Friday the 13th.
No, Friday the 13th is the best thing ever.
But I mean, like the campy, cheesy,
right. There is
in
some
the
nudity.
Woods camp type stuff.
Yeah.
Why do you keep doing that?
Someone was walking by my door.
You keep looking behind me. Stop doing that.
I'm so sorry. Go on.
No, I was gonna say like it's kind of in that vein of like
yeah. But it's sleazy because like Jeff Fahey, who's also in the movie Body Parts. Did you ever see Body Parts?
No.
Oh, okay. You might want to check it out.
I was too young. It's before my time.
So Jeff Fahey's like this sleazy guy that picks up Diana Scarwood from Mommy Dearest, and like she's a nun, and we're not quite sure what she feels guilty.
Christina, Christopher, damn it.
I love that you said that.
I know. Sorry.
Say that all the time.
My brother says it all the time.
Does he?
Yeah.
Because he's a homosexual.
He is a homosexual. And my mother was legit like Joan Crawford.
Oh, she was mean and hit you with hangers?
No, she wasn't, but she had that nice little bite in her humor.
Oh, okay. Oh, so yeah. She was funny, but she didn't hit you.
No, she never hit us.
Oh, that's good.
No.
I'm glad I'm not talking to a formal abused child.
No, I'm not. I don't come from that world.
I'm making light of it, which is terrible.
No, I mean, it is a terrible thing, but that is not part of my background.
Oh, okay. Me neither. So she's a nun who wants to commit suicide, and why does she want to commit suicide?
Because she wants to have sex. She wants the D.
That's what we learned, but I mean, like,
we're assuming. We didn't
we're
know,
assuming.
Though.
Because she wanted to write a novel called Hunger for the Flesh.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we gather when she was talking to. Who is she even talking to? A doctor?
I
mean,
I
we were watching
so,
the movie.
Because he was looking out the window a lot.
Yeah.
So he could have been a doctor.
It was very doctor-like.
Yeah,
so
very emo.
Her and Norma.
Norman
were about to get it on, but he was reluctant.
Because he's a homosexual.
Right. Again, like, but he was too busy. He was the killer in this movie, right? Was he killing everybody? Yeah.
Yes.
We revealed it.
Yes. Yeah. He was. Yeah. He actually.
Oh, that's right. He was the actual killer. He dressed up and he talked. Oh, I'll do my impersonation. Norman, put me next to the window, Norman. That was terrible.
You were in it. I saw your committal.
I was trying
your eyes.
To. My
was
face
great.
Was like, I'm suddenly a killer.
Yeah.
Yes. So
she was the best actress in the whole damn movie. She was just like, I mean, I feel like she was giving the whole cast as much as she could, and God bless her, she wasn't getting it back.
Do you know who
still.
The worst person in the movie was? The reporter. She was god awful.
It was like watching like a Tennessee Williams play.
There were moments where it looked like a play.
Yeah.
They were all standing like, I'm part of the cast. This is my line. What's your line?
Yeah.
We're standing here.
It's like if you put somebody from like the Gilmore Girls.
Oof.
And threw them into like some really slow, I'm trying to think of a slow drama that's out there right now.
Infinity War?
Sure. I was like, if you threw like someone from the Gilmore Girls into.
I hate Gilmore Girls, by
like,
the way.
Oh, well, I've never seen it. But,
You've never? Oh, well, don't.
Yeah. Like How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, like that just, those two styles just don't mix. And that's just kind of how she just stuck out to me. I don't know.
I totally agree. I agree. She was god awful. And I, you know, here's the thing. I don't want to critique people's acting, but she was terrible.
I mean, I believe she's no longer with
the
us?
Reporter?
Maybe.
I'm sure. I mean, 86.
I don't want to say that because you know what?
I'm going to IMDb
that's
her.
That's terrible for me to say. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I believe her career is
on an upswing.
Not with us anymore.
Oh.
So I believe you can maybe make that comment.
Right. But I don't want to because I'm not that person. She's
You're not
terrible.
That person.
Listen, no one tweet her. Is everyone tweeting her these days? Oh my gosh. We just hit 45 minutes.
Oh my God. We have to go.
I know we do have to go. But okay. So let's just wrap it up about Psycho 3.
I did not get the ending. When the guy was just like, he was suddenly some psychopath.
Norman was, right?
No, the other dude, the creepy John Travolta wannabe.
Yeah, and he was naked and doing some weird-ass thing. He was, trust me, I'm not defending him by any means, but I don't think he's an attempted rapist.
He was just not very honorable dealings with women.
He treated that woman horribly.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. He pushed her outside naked with no clothes and just threw her stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then first off, I'm sure if like Alfred Hitchcock saw that scene, he would turn over in his grave.
That's like legit. I thought Alfred Hitchcock would never approve anything.
But now watching it, you know, how many years? 86. It's now 31 years old.
Yeah.
I think it's a victim of its time. In 86, maybe horror movies were a lot more violent then.
There were less restrictions.
Less restrictions.
There were less
is what I'm
bad things going on in the world.
Like, did Universal even look at it? They're like, just release it.
I mean, I'm sure they were struggling. They needed some shock factor.
Right.
It's a good. It's
they
a good
needed
thing.
To compete with the Nightmare on Elm Streets and the Fridays.
And I mean, you have Norman Bates or Anthony Perkins coming back and directing and acting in it. So it's like, oh hey, like he's got something
right.
going.
Was there nudity? I don't even remember.
Yeah, when the girl in the phone booth
getting
stabbed. And I mean, it was only her that was nude when they were before that scene, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, we need to see some horror movies where it's like the girls are like covered up and the guys are the ones running around with their
Did he show side butt?
I believe there was side butt.
It wasn't enough for me. I wanted more.
Well, you should watch Game of Thrones.
I know. That's a commitment, though.
It is a commitment, but I'll tell you, you'll be a more educated person in this fictitious world for it.
Okay. All right. But is there dragons?
There are dragons.
I'm out. Is there dragons in your book?
No.
Okay, then I'll read it.
How dare you?
I'm just, you know, I have to be honest. Why would I lie to you, Fernando?
I don't know. For money?
Yes. Can I have a dollar?
No. Sorry. I bought you Swedish fish. We're done.
That was very nice of you. I'll Venmo you.
You're welcome. You're a child.
Okay. You're a child.
I know. Thank you.
Well, that is actually accurate.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Fernando.
Thank you,
this
Tim.
Was so much fun for watching these nostalgic movies, but they're brand new to you.
Yeah. I mean, 2 out of 3, you know, totally
that ain't
brand
bad.
New to me.
Thank you so much. Everyone read his new book, The Afterliving. You can get it on Amazon.
Yes.
And keep watching amazing cinema like we just did.
Yeah, and keep critiquing and growing your minds. And
mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to, before we sign off, any words of wisdom just to the world?
To the world?
Because mm-hmm, the world's listening.
I'm going to say stop saying you're going to do something and just do it.
Wow.
That's my word of wisdom.
Okay. Note to self.
Yeah.
All right.
I am not affiliated with Nike, but just do it.
Okay. Yeah. Good advice. I have no advice for anyone because I need to take my own advice.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Happy horror time and tweet me.
Oh, wait.
Where can people reach you?
You can find me on Instagram.
Okay.
At Rivera Fernando C.
Okay.
And that's a C as in cat.
Okay. Are you on the Twitter?
It's same handle on the Twitter, at Rivera Fernando C.
Okay.
So yeah.
And what else is there? Is there anything else?
I mean, I tried to do a Medium page for a while, but I just don't
You're
have time
a Medium,
to, like,
you can predict people's futures.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Or a blogger. But I just don't have time to like keep up with that.
No,
kind of stuff.
Anyone can snap a picture, post it, and get 100 likes and feel great.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, in Facebook, but it's like you can just find my actor page on Facebook.
An actor page.
I'm an actor.
Oh my god, I'm with royalty. that was in Psycho 3 too. There was Woody Woodpecker noises.
That's right.
Yeah, full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great evening, everybody.
Yes, happy Memorial Day, everybody.
What a great way to
Is that not a thing?
No, it's fine. It's true.
Oh, I mean, it's
no,
yeah,
no,
we're
it's
American.
Good. Yeah,
say
we
that,
are American.
Right?
True. Okay, bye, everybody.